Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio from the Roswell Infinity Studio. Here in Digital Ignition, I'm Mike Salmon alongside John Ray. Hey there, John.
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Great weekend?
Very good weekend, yes. Great weather, too.
Oh.
Even better. That's what makes it a great weekend.
As we tape the show, it's August, but it feels like spring.
Yes, very nice. It's starting to get into the fall. So it actually cooled. It wasn't 100 degrees. It was only 88 degrees.
It's Chamber of Commerce weather in Alpharetta, right? This is the kind of, you want to bring companies in and show them Alpharetta this time of the year and say, this is the way it always is in August, right?
Exactly. And we're excited. We've got a couple of great guests here in the studio. One of the Fulton County Board of Commissioners is with us, Bob Ellis. Also, Karen Cashin with the Alpharetta Technology Commission. Before we get to them, want to let you know that Roswell Infinity is one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country. They aim to provide top-notch customer service, and they're dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether you're purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter. Our first guest here on North Fulton Business Radio, Bob Ellis. He's a Fulton County Board of Commissioner. And Bob, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Mike.
You also have a day job. You work in the insurance business.
Right.
Give a little plug for your insurance business and then talk about your job with the Board of Commissioners.
Sure. Work for a company, Chubb Limited. We're a largest publicly traded property and casualty insurance company in the world. And insure customers all across the spectrum. And my focus is in areas like directors and officers liability, network security products, protecting companies against intrusions from cyber attacks and so forth. And I would just encourage all the corporate customers out there to give us a look. We've got great products specifically designed for a lot of different niches and a lot of different industries.
All right. I got to give you a kudos, though, because you came in and you really wanted to talk about some things that are affecting our community as a commissioner here. And you didn't give us like little light topics. You gave us some pretty deep topics here to discuss. I want to start with actually, I'm going to go down the list a little bit here, John, because this is one that affects everybody.
Yep.
And that is the number one concern for a lot of folks in this area. And that is getting around town.
Absolutely.
And transportation. And I know there was a recent T-SPLOS that was approved. Talk about where we are when it comes to transportation, specifically here in the North Fulton area, because I do want to mention the areas you serve are Milton and then large chunks of Alpharetta, Roswell, and Sandy Springs.
Right, right. Place where we got a lot of development going on and
a lot of jobs and a lot of traffic.
And certainly one of a great problem to have that, you know, that we've got a lot of people that want to be here. But how do we address both our near-term transportation challenges as well as our longer-term, you know, road building and construction and working through all of those challenges is interesting because you have multiple funding sources that come into play, state, city government, the federal government, and trying to get those in a timely fashion when they're needed and coordinate all those entities. And you also got multiple jurisdictions to try to coordinate. Citizens don't, you know, kind of think when they're traveling along that they're going from, you know, this city to that city, from that county to this county, and what road there might be on. They just want to make sure that they can get there with some degree of consistency and they can predict how long it's going to take them to get there. So one of the things that Fulton County has not had is any real dedicated source of transportation funding for their municipalities and at a county level. And Fulton County's got a lot of cities. So we got all the cities to the table to talk about an opportunity that the state gave us to go out and pursue a local transportation sales tax up to a penny. This one that was passed was for 0.75 cents. And the idea is for a 5-year period of time is to really focus on projects that all of the cities had identified that could really focus around immediate congestion relief. And that was sort of the primary focus. A number of them had several projects that were in the queue that they didn't have really the clear designated means of funding for. So that referendum was put forth to the voters. It passed, and now we're in the phase of implementing that and bringing online the specific projects. And so that's going on throughout North Fulton. And I think over the course of the next 5 years, one of the things that'll be important for all the local governments is to show their citizens that, A, that the funds that they designated for specific projects got spent on those specific projects and the projects got delivered, number one. So there's a transparency, you know, kind of piece that needs to be met. And then secondly, you know, that they begin to see some clear benefits to their daily lives as they travel about. You know, a lot of these will be small things, you know, roundabouts and, you know, just sort of normal, just sort of traffic movement type things, as opposed to widening roads and that sort of stuff. Some of that is in there as well. And then we've got a lot of other sort of transportation things that we're focusing on with the state. You know, we've got the Express Lane project that'll be coming on to Georgia 400. That's going to present some sort of, you know, longer term benefits, but as well as some near term challenges. And certainly the interchange improvements at 285 and 400 are going to be a little bit of a near term nightmare for residents, but should provide a lot of long term impact down the road. And then we're also talking about transit and improvements there. And that's a little bit more of a long term discussion as well. So there's a lot of good dialogue that's taking place with and trying to coordinate that with all the local governments. So that we can continue to be and have the environment that we need from a business standpoint, that a place for folks that want to come and they don't feel like that they just can't get around and don't want to be here.
Right. And we're talking with Bob Ellis, Fulton County Commissioner here on North Fulton Business Radio. As someone who's went to high school here and out back when I went to high school, and I'm dating myself, Alpharetta was basically a bunch of horse farms. So I've seen the growth. Always seems like when it comes to transportation, we're catching up. We're always kind of in the catch because we're growing so fast. Will we ever get ahead of the curve, or is it always going to be playing catch up because the growth is just phenomenal in this area?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm certainly not, I'm not going to go out and say, put some promise out there that we're ever going to catch up. I think every community that's sort of in a growing in metro areas need to think about is how do they do it smarter? And I don't think you're ever going to purely eliminate congestion, and people are going to have to, you know, adapt and that sort of stuff, the way that they live their lives and the way that they travel. But I think you're starting to see a mindset change even with development, you know, just sort of a small footprint level when you look at, you know, different communities in North Fulton and the things that you wouldn't have thought about even just 5 or 6 years ago, that we would have developments where you actually are living and working on the same development site. I mean, to think about that in a suburban environment that we are historically known for, and to say that we would actually have those in place today, people would have said, "Yeah, I don't believe that that's going to take place." They're going to still sort of view us as just we're going to be a bedroom community, and folks are traveling down the perimeter or some other sort of work center like North Point Parkway. But yet, we've got sites like Avalon that are coming online and that have an element of work, live, and play in them or close to them, right, where they can easily access or, you know, in either a walk or a bike ride or so, you know, so forth to get to work. So I think our local communities are changing in that aspect, that we're going to have many more people that are actually working and living in North Fulton. I think that will change the dynamics of our traffic patterns. It'll present some new challenges, but also I think it'll provide a little bit of relief in there as well.
Now, Bob, speaking of coordination, another issue that it seems to me requires a lot of coordination is the heroin opioid epidemic. Now, I know that this is an issue that's really gotten on the radar screen here in North Fulton because it's hit this area hard. Talk about that. Talk about how you see that from a county perspective and then the coordinating with the state and the federal government on this problem.
Right. So certainly it's a national issue, but clearly it's been a local issue. I think if you look at our medical examiner's results from 2016, they tell us we had over 150 deaths, and a number of those were in the North Fulton area. And that's a number that's grown about 150% since 2010. And it's not slowed down, and really sort of touches all elements of society in terms of its impact. So there are a number of different I begin looking at this, and some other folks have been, you know, a lot of folks have really been talking about and trying to identify potential solutions. And there's so many multifacets to this challenge that it can become somewhat overwhelming. So one of the things that, from a Fulton County perspective, is we've tried to take a step back and say, hey, what's within our ability to try to control and influence more immediately to try to put a stem on this crisis? And one of the things that we did last year is that we made a concerted effort around getting naloxone in the hands of all first responders and really coordinating that effort and pushing it through all the municipalities, firemen and policemen, and making sure that they had access to it. And we actually provided a startup fund to allow that to happen and to get them trained. And I do think that that's had a clear benefit in terms of saving lives, because the stuff that the kits that are out there have been utilized. What this year we tried to focus a little bit more effort on, and something we passed here at our last meeting, was a focus around prevention, because you can continue to treat, but if you're not doing anything to sort of stem the tide of folks that are becoming addicted, then you know you're just going to constantly be sort of chasing your tail. So there are really kind of four facets that I think you're going to see a much bigger much bigger impetus around. And number one, around take-back programs and making people aware of where they can go to get drugs out of their homes, take them to, you know, multiple sites that we're going to have located throughout the county. And, you know, we have some already. They're not very well promoted in the municipalities, and different people have them, right? But it's a matter of kind of getting more out there and then promoting them, because roughly about 45 to 50% of the drugs, that prescription pills that folks kind of utilize, that they either are the gateway for them to become addicts, because about four or five heroin addicts start with prescription pills. Many of these drugs just come out of folks, you know, just, you know, drug, you know, medicine cabinets and are sure. sitting on their sink and that sort of stuff. And folks just need to get them out of their home. So that's going to be one clear area of focus. Another clear area of focus is that we're trying to do is to work with the medical community. They've got a role, and they've got a big role in this. And, you know, kind of a number of them have been challenged about, you know, in pharmaceutical companies have been sued over this issue. But I do think that we've got now a medical community that realizes kind of their role in it as well. And working with groups like the Medical Association of Georgia, we've got the CDC here in our backyard. We have a public health feature within Fulton County that we have responsibility for, is to try to bring more of the actual, you know, folks that are prescribing at the front line, you know, get them actual physical one-on-one, you know, training around proper prescriptions, things like identifying and thinking about, before I actually prescribe to somebody, what do I know about their history? Do they have a propensity potentially for addiction in their family? Is there an alternative for pain management, you know, versus just prescribing an opiate? And a big focus will be also kind of with the dental and the oral surgeon community, because many times you think about, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old goes and gets their wisdom teeth cut out. And I know I had this both with my own two children. What they were prescribed or attempted to prescribe was, you know, roughly, you know, a dosage of about, you know, 45, 50, you know, opiates, which they were, if they took them, they might be using one or two. Certainly not that amount. And they probably didn't need them at all. Probably could just be treated with ibuprofen and so forth. But
sure.
But it became customary. And that was sort of that's become a huge source of just excess pills that are out there. And they're also, unfortunately, kind of more inadvertently wind up being targeted towards a very younger individual who may have a greater propensity to addiction, because it's a potential brain altering substance as well. So it's just sort of a bad mix. So I think educating the medical community and having them become more accountable as well will be a focus. And then in another area and sort of gap that we've identified is sort of behavioral health resources within schools, and just as sort of a general is a gap. And we have been working with an organization out of Lake County, Illinois, which devised a program they call Text a Tip. And that's not telling on your friends. It's really more of a crisis, an anonymous crisis type line, where if you're a teen in crisis and you're not comfortable walking down the hall or talking to anybody, but you know you need some sort of response about where I can get connected to help, it's an avenue for them to reach out anonymously, you know, initially through a text, and get an offer for where can I access some sort of treatment or help. And we think by building that out and working with the school systems, it will have an impact on preventing kids from turning to drugs and alcohol. Also probably, you know, have some tangential benefit, clear benefit in terms of suicide prevention and some other things. And it's just sort of a big gap that we've got within our school environments is the behavioral health kind of aspects of stuff. Because while there are counselors there, the counselors in schools are really academic counselors first. And, you know, and really the mental health piece is something that they've either not had the funds for, are really kind of the qualified staff to be able to man as effectively as they would like.
Lots of facets to that issue, for sure. Now, I know there's one particular issue you've been heavily involved in this summer, which is the property tax assessment increases. And I think it's fair to say there's a little outrage about that here. And you were a leader in, I guess, getting that those assessment increases postponed.
Sure.
So talk about where all that is. And, you know, then really what's the longer term solution to this issue to keep people from, you know, getting hit with big increases all in one year?
Yeah, well, certainly rising property values are a good thing, right? I mean, that means
great
that you're living in a you know, great environment and so forth. But, you know, where it's not a good thing is where either A, you know, you're getting surprised at what your assessment is and don't agree with it because you just it doesn't seem right and the percentage increases are so significant that they're going to. The second piece of it is that the significant increases become so significant that your property taxes are going to rise at a rate that you just haven't planned for. So really sort of as a twofold thing, and what we saw really kind of in happened when the assessments came out and really kind of the impetus for the Board of Commissioners ultimately pulling them back and really reverting back for most folks to 2016 levels with a few exceptions was the fact that we were seeing so many and hearing so many stories where things are just clear errors, and they were disproportionately also impacting a lot of vulnerable people. I mean, we had Habitat for Humanity neighborhoods that were being reassessed over upwards of 100%. A lot of seniors and a lot of folks on fixed income that were seeing significant jumps that if they had played all the way through, you know, folks were going to be having to make some sort of tough decisions around how they would even live their lives. You know, I mean, how am I going to spend tuition for my kids or healthcare spending? You know, kind of, can I afford this surgery or that type of thing? Or should I, or am I going to have to just put my house up for sale and move? So there were a lot of public policy impacts that if this were allowed to play out, that we were greatly concerned with. And there were so many errors that we sought to pull them back. So there's sort of the solution and the go forward piece of it. It's really sort of a twofold aspect. Number one, is working with our Board of Assessors, which is a sort of a quasi-independent board separate from the Board of Commissioners, assuring that our tax assessor operation is doing a better job of getting their assessments accurate and not having so many of just sort of the gross errors and inconsistencies that we saw with this round of assessments coming out. And the second piece of it is really a push that, you know, that our state legislators consider and push, in essence, sort of property assessment caps. And this can kind of be looked at in a number of different ways. One of the more simpler ones, and we actually, this Fulton County government, the Fulton County government portion of your property taxes is subject to this, is a floating homestead exemption. So if your home, for example, is reassessed upwards of 50%, there's the homestead exemption would increase in such a fashion that your actual taxable assessed value wouldn't go up more than 3% or what CPI was. That's a mechanism that's been in place in Fulton County government for a while that Fulton County government has lived under, but that's roughly about 25 to 30% of somebody's property tax bills. You know, we think that it's a great mechanism that should be adopted by all of our local taxing municipalities, all our cities. Sandy Springs is the only city that has that similar provision. We think all our cities should have it and our school systems should have it because it's going to provide the certainty to folks about, okay, worst case scenario, here's going to be my impact. And that will be a piece that would have to be introduced as local legislation and then it would be a go to a referendum. And we think those two components are really kind of the principal things that, you know, can make for a very healthy, workable environment and eliminate the, you know, for local governments to be able to fund themselves and so forth, but also eliminate the surprise factor that folks were seeing in their potential property tax bills.
Now, briefly, I've had some questions from business owners about how this whole situation affects commercial property. Why don't you address that question?
So the commercial properties had gone through a fairly significant revals over 2015 and 2016. And we were also not hearing or seeing the same types of errors being brought forth with commercial assessments this year. So we had a power to not just carte blanche, just pull everything back, but the power to correct the assessments in the way that we felt deemed most effective based upon the evidence that was presented to us. So on the different components of the changes, on residential properties were treated one way, and the commercial properties were treated slightly different for that particular reason. And so the commercial properties, when they get their new assessments, they'll look identical to what they had received before, but the residential homeowners will be significantly different by different categories. So if new growth, you know, versus, you know, somebody that was in an existing property or added on.
You're listening to Bob Ellis. He's with the Fulton County Board of Commissioners, and I'm trying to figure out when you actually have time to do your day job with Chubb Insurance, with all these projects going on with the Board of Commissioners. For those, and we do appreciate, of course, you know, with your input to the community, and of course, your giving of your time. For those residents that would like to have their voices heard, whether it be the property taxes or the drug issues or the transportation, how can they be heard? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you or any of the commissioners?
Yeah, certainly. Sort of respond to people via email when they send it. So I do a lot of my email work late at night. That's and getting back to folks, but that's bob.ellis@fultoncountyga.gov. Fulton County's website is fultoncountyga.gov, you know, to kind of go check that out. But if folks have, and I find, you know, citizen input is the best thing, and that's the thing I really enjoy about local government. I'm in the customer service business in my job at Chubb, and I view myself as being in the customer service business as a local representative. So feel free to just pop me an email at any point in time, and I'll get you connected to who you get connected to or get you an answer.
And you got a few more years to go. Your current term expires in 2020.
That's right.
So, yeah. Bob, thank you so much for coming by and joining us.
My pleasure.
Bob Ellis with the Fulton County Board of Commissioners here on North Fulton Business Radio. Before we go on to our next guest, I want to let you know that we are sitting here in the studios at Digital Ignition. We're located in Alpharetta, and Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. They offer an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desks, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, video recording studio, and much, much more. And you can come celebrate their one-year anniversary at their open house. It's going to be August 9th. That's 2017, by the way. Depends when you listen to this podcast.
That's right.
Join us in RSVP by going to digitalignition.com/events. Come see great co-working to impress your investors, customers, and future employees. And speaking of which, the technology, especially in Alpharetta, is just booming.
Booming.
So you have places like Digital Ignition, and you also have places like the Alpharetta Technology Commission.
Speaking of booming.
And speaking of which, the CEO, Karen Cashin, is with us. And Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us all about the Alpharetta Technology Commission.
Okay. Happy to do so.
And your role, and you're fairly new there.
Yes, I am. And by way of a brief background, as you all have probably heard, technology is obviously Alpharetta's primary industry. So the Alpharetta Technology Commission was formed by the City of Alpharetta back in 2012 to create a strategic advisory commission to help advise the city on how to grow innovation and technology in the city limits. And it ultimately evolved into a 501c6 nonprofit in 2015. And I was brought on board as CEO just in February of 2017.
Now, Karen, a lot has happened since you've come on. I want to give you a chance to brag about some of the growth you've had here. Because speaking of booming, I mean, you've really ignited a lot of growth at ATC.
Well, thank you, John. Our Alpharetta Technology Commission opened up the ATC Innovation Center in Alpharetta in August of 2015 on the recommendation of the ATC's GROW Committee. That said, you know, as a technology city, it would be a really wise idea to have an innovation center to help support and grow the startups in this community. The city of Alpharetta listened and opened up the innovation center in August of 2015 to provide co-working space and a secure facility for tech startups to help grow their companies. When I came on board in February of this year, one of my goals was to help evolve that innovation center into an incubator. And in order to do so, what I've been working at over the past few months is to launch a number of programs such as mentorship programs, educational programs on site there, business resources, business community resources for our startups to help support them as they grow. And I'm pleased to report at this point, we can really characterize that innovation center as an incubator. We have those programs in place now. And we've grown from 28 to 56 tech startups since February of this year.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I say that's a compliment to you, obviously, for that kind of growth.
Well, thank you. There's just a great deal of demand in the community, which is a wonderful thing to have, a tremendous right. number of innovators that are looking for that kind of a space. And what one of the things we've done is limit that the type of tech startups that can be in that center to tech creators. They have to be creating their own intellectual property to be in that center. And as a result of that, it really is pure tech creators, whether they're devising software or something in the biotech field. They're authentic creators of new technology.
Are there any success stories that have come out of the Innovation Center that you can share with us?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, August is a very big month for us. We have three companies, quote unquote, graduating from our Innovation Center, which means that they have succeeded so well that they've outgrown our available space for them.
So you want them to come in, but you love it when they leave then too.
Absolutely. It's a great story for us, and we're excited for them because that means that they're on their way to even greater success. And so this month we have three companies. In fact, we just had a celebration for them yesterday evening at the center and a cake to congratulate them on their success. Three companies: Liveful, which is a biotech company that has moved into, it needed much larger space, has moved into warehouse office space in Alpharetta. And we're very pleased that they're staying in Alpharetta. Evident ID, which is identity management, cybersecurity company. And one of our largest companies in the center is about to double in size. So they are taking much larger space at the ATDC Center downtown in Atlanta. Our third company, V-Link Solutions, which has proprietary video technology, has outgrown its space and moved into much larger space and studio space in the North Point Parkway area of Alpharetta. So those are three great stories, and we're really very proud of them for their success.
You have all these companies in the Alpharetta area. You know, obviously we're a suburb north of Atlanta. Do you find that companies, if they say they're based in Alpharetta as opposed to Atlanta, there's no negativity with that maybe anymore? That where's that? I think people know Alpharetta. I've heard comparisons to the Silicon Valley as far as the number of startups and the number of digital type companies.
Yeah, it's really been a tremendous amount of recognition, I think, not just in Atlanta and the Southeast, but even to some extent nationally, of the fact that Alpharetta is a technology hub in its own right at this point. There are more than 640 technology companies in Alpharetta, which is within 22 square miles, which is a staggering number, and certainly one of the largest concentrations in the Southeast. So it's a great story, and enough people have heard it now that they've come to recognize Alpharetta, and there really has been a sea change of difference. Even some of the larger companies in Alpharetta 5 years or so ago were still referring to themselves as Atlanta companies, and they now are proud to let everybody know that they're Alpharetta companies. It's on their websites. It's in their marketing. So they view that as a positive to be based in Alpharetta now. And in fact, one of the latest companies to arrive in Alpharetta is a company called BitPay that has just relocated from Midtown to come up to Alpharetta. So it's seen as a very desirable place to start or continue your tech business.
We're speaking with Karen Cashin, and Karen is the Chief Executive Officer of the Alpharetta Technology Commission. And I know there's been some actual stories of companies that have looked at moving from Silicon Valley, right? I mean, they come to Alpharetta and they're surprised about all the infrastructure they see here that can support their business, but it's a whole lot cheaper than Silicon Valley.
That's right. As a matter of fact, there's one company in Alpharetta now, Worthix, that relocated from Silicon Valley after it received a round of investor funding, and with the blessing of its investors said, hey, you know, this funding is going to last us at least 18 months longer in Alpharetta than it is if we stay out here in Silicon Valley. And ultimately relocated and really have become huge proponents of Alpharetta as a technology destination. And recently, the city of Alpharetta was launching a new set of relocation credits to entice Silicon Valley startups to relocate from there to Alpharetta by paying the relocation costs or a portion thereof.
Now, Karen, we've talked about some of the great benefits of being in Alpharetta for startups, but funding is an issue. Right. We hear a lot about that and how that's the challenge. Talk about that. Give us your perspective on startups and funding issues.
Sure. And funding is an issue for all startups wherever they're located. There's no greater challenge for a startup that's located outside of an Atlanta or Boston or New York than it's no greater challenge for a startup in Alpharetta, in my opinion, to to obtain funding than it is for a startup located right within one of the metropolitan hubs known for being a base for a lot of VC firms and angel investors. Ultimately, it really comes down to getting connected with the investor community, getting the word out about your company, and developing those relationships, regardless of where you're located. Although one of the things that we've been working hard at the ATC is to start developing relationships with the downtown Atlanta VC firms and angel investment firms and some of the southeastern ones as well, just simply to make them aware of what's going on in Alpharetta. A lot of them had not been familiar with the story and were really quite pleasantly surprised and wowed by when I told them we had 56 tech startups at our innovation center. So I'm pleased to report there's been a lot of interest, and we're starting to grow those relationships and make them more aware and bring them out to our suburban side of the community.
We're joined by Karen Cashin. She's the CEO of the Alpharetta Technology Commission, and you rolled off some impressive numbers as far as all the technology companies here that call Alpharetta home. And hopefully you can add one more and say Business Radio X is part of that. I think we're a technological, you know, we're a tech company. Yeah,
absolutely.
We're, you know, online radio, of course.
Yeah, we count you.
The Alpharetta Technology Commission, you've done so much in your short time here. What's next? What are some of your other plans? You kind of touched upon it earlier, but what can we expect next?
Well, you know, we've got a number of initiatives underway. We're growing our mentoring program. Expect to see a lot more programs being added to the queue over there. We've been holding a lot more events, many more events over on-site at our innovation center. And ultimately, we're going to outgrow that innovation center, which is a great problem to have. So at some point, we're going to need some larger space in the community to meet the tremendous level of demand from the startups. So those are a few of the things that you're going to see coming on down the line. And like I said, greater awareness, building greater awareness with the downtown investor community to get them more involved with what's happening on this side of town as well.
Great stuff. Well, Karen, for those companies that would like to look into the workspace there and find out more about the Alpharetta Technology Commission and your great innovation center, where can they get more information?
Sure. They can go to www.innovatealpharetta.com, which will take them to our ATC website. Or they can email me directly, Karen@innovatealpharetta.com.
One last question before I let you go. You mentioned you came in February?
Yes.
Of this year.
Correct.
What's the biggest surprise? Something you didn't expect, maybe a pleasant surprise that you were not aware of when you came on board?
I would say probably how inspiring it is to work in an environment of entrepreneurs. It's really a tremendous experience working with so many talented people who are not only extremely intelligent, but are so adept at thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
It's really inspiring.
That's how I feel every day working with John Ray. He inspires me.
Flattery will get you everywhere, my friend.
I know. That's why I'm sure to do it. Karen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Karen Cashin with the Alpharetta Technology Commission here on North Fulton Business Radio. Want to thank Karen. Also, Bob Ellis with the Fulton County Board of Commissioners for joining us. A quick reminder, you can listen to this show anytime you want, 24/7, by going to northfultonbusinessradiox.com. Not only this episode, but all our episodes of all our shows you can listen to anytime. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those.
All over the place.
All that social media stuff. We're all over
the place.
We're
plastered all over the place.
Exactly. Any final words, John?
No, it's been a great show. I love these kind of shows where we can get the kind of the big picture on what's going on that affects businesses in Alpharetta.
Yeah, a lot of good information. Yep. A lot of stuff happening in the community with what Bob was sharing as well. I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Trey for producing and all his stuff behind the scenes. For John, I'm Mike, and we'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.